Welcome to the Inner and Outer Games Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Miss Elizabeth Bachman. Elizabeth, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you so much, Tanya. And I must say, the Public Speakers Association is such a great organization. As someone who is a total speaker geek myself, presenter geek myself, I'm so happy to have this incredible resource at my beck and call. And I'm really happy that this is the summit called The Inner and Outer Game of Speaking, because Tina Greenbaum, who just spoke, and I talk about this a lot. And we've also done, you can find us a video version of this that we've done with the amazing Tanya Hoffman. Because speaking, especially those of us who use speaking either as our main source of income or as our main source of promoting our business or practice, speaking is something that you need to have the inner game and the outer game. I often think about speaking as a way to transmit wisdom or ideas that come from our experience, our intelligence, and often from our inspiration. One of the things I often think, days when I'm trying to write a script or I'm trying to come up with the right language and I'm sitting there sweating over the computer. I don't know if anybody else, if you sit there and you sweat over the computer and the muse is so not sitting on your shoulder whispering in your ear. I wish I could just turn it on and turn it off so that I always had this great inspiration and the muse would be singing right through me and let me just transmit the wisdom without any craft. But most of the time, it doesn't work that way. Every once in a while, it does, but most of the time, what I do is I teach people the craft of transmitting a speech, which hopefully is inspired by the wisdom, the art. Speaking is an art, and I've spent a lifetime dedicated to the art of great communication. I've started out as an actor. As a matter of fact, I've been dedicated to the art of great communication since I first walked on stage at the age of 5, and my mother said, that was the best damn bunny rabbit who ever graced the stage of the Hillside School, and I was totally hooked. Totally hooked. I've spent my life aiming to make my communication better every time, first as an actor, then as a director, then as an opera director, and now as a presentation skills trainer. And I say presentation skills because it's so much more than just speaking. Yes, it can be speaking to a group, but it's also speaking to a potential client if you're one-on-one. It could be speaking to stand up and make a toast, all of that, or it could be even speaking within a corporation where you either have to get your team on board to do what you want them to do, or speaking to upper management to get them to approve what you've convinced your team to do. So speaking is totally an art, and the craft of it is what fascinates me. In some ways, if you think that the art comes as an inspiration from something greater, whether it's human history or it's a higher power, a deity, the universe, whatever you want. All those of us who are speakers have felt those moments where we're communicating something that comes from outside. If you gave this inspiration to your listeners straight and pure, say it comes immediately from the universe, you're probably going to knock them over. You're going to drown them. If it was water, it's like hitting them with a fire hose of information. The craft and the reason why I'm such a speaker geek, the craft of speaking is in shaping this message, shaping this idea in a way that will reach your audience the way they're ready to hear it, in the most powerful and effective way, and then move them to take action. It's like changing from a fire hose to a cool drink of water on a hot day. And sometimes the details are about refining that stream of information so that it's a fine, fine stream that's going to etch a beautiful design in a piece of silver. It can, on a silver plate, it can be that fine. But it's great, it's exciting, it's important. As you can tell, I get really passionate about all of this. The craft comes from using all the tools and techniques we have at our disposal. And for me, coming from the performing arts, I can draw from 3,000 years of recorded theater history to move an audience to take action, to move a room to take action. This is what I did with performers from Luciano Pavarotti and Placido Domingo on down to teenagers making their first step on stage. It's what I do now with speakers. And the part that breaks my heart is to see speakers who are doing an okay speech and they don't get the results they want. For many of us who speak to promote our businesses, that means you're not getting the sales you want. And it's because it's only an okay speech. And I watch that, and I know that there are so many tools available to turn it into a great speech. And they just don't know that so much more is possible. And that breaks my heart. So that's really where this is really where I have dedicated my life, to helping people do that. So back to the inner and outer game. Tino said wonderful things about techniques for the inner game. And she has much more to tell you. So if you're having trouble with the inner game, I would highly recommend paying attention to what Tina has to offer and paying attention to what I have to offer on the outer game. How do you shape your message? And what I find are three huge mistakes that I see presenters making all the time. So I'd like to start with the three biggest mistakes that even the smart and savvy presenters make that cost you sales, cost you results. The third biggest mistake is not being relevant as far as they're concerned. I invite you to write this down. Get a pen and paper, because these are techniques that have saved me thousands of dollars and cost me thousands of dollars when I've forgotten them. What you want to write down is match your message to the room. I'll say that again. Match your message to the room. Because a speaking gig, as many of you know, can be incredibly lucrative, and it can also be a huge waste of time. You've got to know who are your ideal clients, who needs what you have to offer, and who knows they need what you have to offer. Speakers tell me all the time, yes, but everybody needs it. I had somebody yesterday who helps with skincare, and she said, oh, my ideal clients are anybody with skin. Well, anybody with skin is great, but if they don't know they need you, that's something else. Whereas if you go and you speak to people who are suffering from eczema and psoriasis and you have a solution, then if you've matched your message to the room, they're going to fall all over themselves to sign up with you. The second biggest mistake is too much how, not enough why. So write that down. Too much how, not enough why. And I know this is sales 101. It's all about talk about the benefits, not the features, sell the sizzle, but not the steak. And yet as speakers, we're out there speaking because there's something that we're passionate about, something that we're an expert in. And it's so easy to get off on a tangent and telling people how you do what you do. So as you're matching your message to the room, you also want to make sure that you are telling them, you are addressing what they want and how it will benefit them. One way I like to think of this is, it's not my job in a 20 minute, 30 minute, 60, 90 minute speech. It's not my job to teach people how to do what I teach them. My job is to teach them how to invest in themselves through me, how to solve their problem by making an investment in themselves. And I am the tool, I am the means, I am the craft, if you will, how for them to solve the problem. So the answer to this is, as a speaker, you are a figure of hope. Write that one down. I am a figure of hope. Your job as a speaker who is who is trying to get results is to give them the hope that they can solve their problem through you. And the third biggest mistake is by being bland or pushy on stage. Now, this is a lot of what we've talked about with Tina, is when you're talking too much or when you forget, your focus goes internal. You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking, oh, they're going to think I'm stupid. Oh, my goodness, I messed up, things like that. And then you're by definition not communicating, not paying attention to them. I mean, think back. Have you ever seen a bland speaker? I'm sure you have. Have you ever seen a pushy speaker? That too. And ask yourself, have you ever been that bland or pushy speaker? Has anybody ever been there when you're giving your all in front of a group and then you get to the point where you start to ask for the money, you make your offer, and you feel your shoulders going up, and you feel yourself pushing harder, and you can watch their eyes glaze over, and maybe they sit there and they are that dreaded polite. Fortunately, we're in America, so people don't boo and hiss or walk out on you. They just turn polite and then walk out the door with their credit cards still in their pockets. If you've ever been there, if I was asking yourself, have you been there? Well, a lot of that is who you are in the room. After all, only 7% of what people perceive about you comes from your words. The other 93% is who you are in the room, how you deliver your material. So thinking about how the delivery is the key. That's a huge part of what I do with people. Comes from my 30 plus years of training performers. How you do that, who you are on stage, is the key. I have a client, Mary. She came to me because she has wonderful words. She's actually a writing coach. So her words were great, but her delivery was terrible. Whenever she got nervous, she would get very quiet and her voice would go into a monotone. Her shoulders would go up. That it was just awful. She would sort of turn into a black hole in front of you. So what we did was we worked on her delivery and her presence. As Tina said, we helped her find her feet. I often think about finding your feet as connecting to Earth, to Mother Earth, and connecting to the power of Mother Earth, so that you are not alone, so that you're not out there by yourself. You actually have the power of all of Earth supporting you. I worked with her on that, and she wrote to me after a speech, and she said, oh my God, it was amazing. I was really nervous because I only had 3 minutes on stage and I wasn't allowed to make an offer. But I did what you told me. I followed the tools and the techniques that you taught me. And people said they'd never seen me so grounded, so compelling. And best of all, after I was done, 8 people came up to my table in the back of the room and signed up for my introductory product. I made $8,000 in 3 minutes. Thank you. This is what keeps me going, is getting comments like that and getting people to talk about it. It is science applied to art. One of the formulas, or one of the ways I do this with people to craft the outer game, is to talk about the 5 P's of superstar presenting. I've been a presenting superstars and helping performers for over 30 years as an international opera director, and now making superstars out of speakers. So if you think about the star, I invite you, if you still got your pen, to draw a 5-pointed star on the paper. And it's the 5 P's. The first P is profit. How are you going to make money with your speaking? Again, speaking can be great fun, but if you don't know how to get it to pay you, then it's a lot of work for only psychic return and not monetary return. And this is the Public Speakers Association. We're here to do speeches that move people, inspire them, educate them, and get paid while we do it. So think about the profit. Think about who is it that really needs what you have and needs what you have to say, knows that they need it, and then where are they? I have speakers asking me all the time. I said, "Oh, I have so many different speeches. Which one do I start with?" And I always say, "Okay, which one is going to get you paid first? Then you can write your second speech. But start out with which one is going to make the profit?" The second P is patterns of speech. Here's where the practice that Tina was talking about, the practice that I talk about, if you rehearse your key phrases, and this works for a one-on-one sales conversation as well as for a speech in front of a group, rehearse your key phrases so that if you're nervous, you can still let it flow off your tongue. Speaking, after all, is a physical act. It uses the muscles of the mouth and the breath and the lips and the tongue. And I tell you, learning how to say, "I'm an international opera director and presentation skills trainer," took me a long time, took me a while to figure out how to say that. Practice, figure out the patterns of your speech, and make sure that the way you do this, and this is something I'm happy to help people with, tells us immediately who you are, what you do, and how to send you business. The third P is pre-framing. That's an NLP term, neuro-linguistic programming. And that is you build into your speech answers to the objections you're likely to get. When I first learned this, I learned this from a speaker trainer who was helping me craft a fundraising for the nonprofit I was running at the time. And I didn't really have the money to invest with that person. I didn't know where I was going to find it. But I knew that the people who needed my help, the people who could be helped by my learning how to do a better speech, had to be more important than my fear. And so I found that money. I invested in a mentor who'd been there before me, who'd gone down that road before me, and it changed my life. It was the best investment I ever made. That's a story I often tell, which also pre-frames that it makes sense to invest in having a mentor. The fourth P is actually a double P, presence and projection. We talked about that before. It's who you are in the room. It's how to be compelling and interesting on stage. Because after all, sales is like sex. Nothing happens until somebody gets excited. It is your presence as well as your words that will get people excited that that you're going to be the solution to their problem and to get them to open their wallets. And the fifth P is practice, because nobody plays Hamlet the first time they pick up the script. Practice, as Tina was saying, as I say, work on your speech. Get somebody else to listen to you, because it's really hard from, if you're inside the picture, you can't see the frame, as the old saying goes. Get somebody to give you informed feedback. I know that there's often, Toastmasters is a great place to get over one stage fright, but you don't always know who's in the group who can give you informed feedback. So make sure that you want to invest with someone who understands the art and the craft of public speaking. There's much more to this. I want to make sure that I address the thing about going too fast that we spoke about earlier. One of the tools that I like to use, I call them speed bumps. If you know that this is a place, as Tina said, it's the awareness. If you're aware that you tend to go too fast, or you forget to smile, that's happened to me in the past. If you're aware of that, then in your PowerPoint, put in this symbol that you know means slow down, or breathe, or smile. I often put a little sunrise in the corner of my notes, or on a handout that I'm using that when I'm showing people how to fill out a handout and I have my comma, my version, I'll put a little sunrise in the corner because it's sonrizo is Spanish for smile and it sounds like sunrise. So people think it's just a sunrise, but I know it means smile. If I put a smiley face there, people would know it, people would wonder why. So I put in something that reminds me to smile. Sometimes I will put in a swirl that kind of looks like a breath of wind and reminds me to breathe, to slow down and breathe. I call them speed bumps, little reminders to slow down. It's what happens in the road. That's why they do a speed bump, because people don't think about it. They're just driving along. You can do speed bumps for yourself in your speech. It's been such a delight to be on this and to be part of this. This has been very extemporaneous. This is not my signature speech. But I urge you, those of you who are speakers, to make sure that you do have a signature speech that you've practiced so that you can use the elements when you want. And get somebody to listen to you. Get feedback. Get help. We're all working to go from good to great. And I have a gift for you all to help you go from good to great, those little tweaks. It is a free email series called The Star Maker Secrets for Speakers. And it's a series of emails, some are videos, some are text, of short, useful tips. They come about once a week, and you can incorporate them into your speech. You can find this by going to www.starmakerforspeakers.com/free gift. That's starmakerforspeakers, all spelled out, .com/free gift. And if you're not a member of the Public Speakers Association yet, I urge you to join. Thank you very much.